ghosts and goblins.
Oh yeah,
and
definitely.
And goblins and globules.
goblins and globules.
Gibbons.
Gibbons.
Hemoglobins.
Hemoglobins. Just fucking record this. Why not? Right. So let me find there. That's probably a better spot. Okay. It was basically the beef, stewed beef, and you picked which vegetable, like vegetables or on potatoes or on noodles. So you could, if you get it without anything, it's just a bowl of beef, I think.
Yeah. Right. So. Mm,
so. So yeah, that was the principle.
Hold on.
Anyway,
welcome to Sit Talk.
Kendrick over here. No, that plays without you doing that.
No, I thought I had to do it.
Oh, we talked about this.
When do we talk about it?
Every
episode 74.
Is that real? Oh, he could have had the confidence to pull it out.
He didn't, though.
Then I would have got checked. Someone would have checked.
No, who? You were going to check yourself?
I only barely put that recording in last time when we called it.
Kendrick, would you like to...
Which, for the record... For the record... We both said the thing about horses.
Okay. I don't remember what we said that we said about horses.
Horses are weak against bullets or something like that. Okay. And I said, like, oh, no, bullets go through horses. And you were like, oh, no, bullets, my only weakness or something like that. Horses only weakness. And we basically both said a thing, neither of which was the exact thing Joe said.
So we kind of like Luke, you're my father, did.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Or I'm your father, did. Did you want to have a spiel about Dead Cells?
I love Dead Cells.
Like, just like dust and skin like that, that's all
yeah,
over?
Yep, just...
He likes licking it off of people and things.
In the air.
I mean, it's a lot of,
Yeah, it's disgusting. Don't ever mention that again, or I'll kill you and your family. So anyway.
What?
What?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you say Kevin's family? Because we already talked about that.
No, we did. No, I mean, Dead Cells is, It's a video game for a particular type of person, to be honest. I think it's a video game that I would recommend to somebody who loves Castlevania, liked Dark Souls, or at least parts of Dark Souls, and is not necessarily completely against the roguelike elements. I say this as somebody who only played Dark Souls 1, got really stuck in it, but enjoyed every minute of dying in it, almost every minute until I stopped. Who did not like roguelikes or rogues or roguelites or any of those until I played Ghost. And who has loved the Castlevania history and everything, but not necessarily played every single thing, one of them. I have definitely logged 100-some-odd hours at the absolute minimum into Castlevania Symphony of the Night, which was the PlayStation 1 one from, what, 99?
Okay.
98, maybe.
Then that's the one all the good ones are based off of. Like,
yeah.
All the ones I played were all, like, the DS ones and,
so,
like that, and then future ones like that.
I mean, Dead Cells is cool, and I can gush about it, but I kind of want to explain what I like about it and what the Metroidvania thing. We talked a little bit about Metroidvanias. And
yeah.
We talked about some roguelites.
Yeah.
Things like
so,
that.
So Castlevania as a video game series has a very fascinating history. It started off with a very standard side-scroller, you move to the right... And you whip
or
things.
Left. Sometimes you climb up the stairs in the opposite directions.
Yeah. Sorry, you can move left or right, but the screen always moves
just
to the right. So it's, yeah. It's a little like Mario. You can't really go back, right?
That's
the old school system. And then there were stages, and then there were. It was, for the time, extremely elaborate level of special effects and like immersion and the character like not characters because there's practically no story, but the art design, the background design, the audio are all. Really top notch for the area. Like it was really exemplary of what you could push the NES to do.
It kind of flows like a, like, and I know this. Actually, game came out later, but I think it's kind of confusing to say Metroidvania, and then start to explain Castlevania from the first one because like the Metroidvania
the
term,
thing,
yeah, moves. But it's like for those who haven't played Castlevania, which I guess this is a weird comparison to make, Ghosts and Goblins, like that type of like linear forward flow.
Or Mario.
Mega Man, I guess sometimes, but Mega Man has ups and downs too.
Yeah,
so.
There's ups and downs still, but Mega Man, the original Mega Man were all single state, like single screen.
Yeah.
You do screen to screen, right? And then you have, later you had the tracking parts, but it was always go to the screen, screen pan.
That's true.
Populated.
That's true. Okay. Not like Mega Man.
Well, I mean, these all share concepts, but one of the things that I really wanted to bring up the old Castlevania 4 was, like, sorry, the old Castlevania because Castlevania 4 is a different one, is that it was very linear, it was hard, but you didn't, it was just kind of merciless with how it did stuff. The controls were tight and made sense. You knew what you were doing, but if you got too ballsy or ran into something, you'd die. The bosses were challenging but predictable, and there were certain patterns you could follow. But overall, the game's very linear, and there's a fixed sort of set path you go through, right? So the parts that I think are important to remember about that is that that is one of the elements of a Castlevania game that changed. The linearity and the fixed nature.
Yeah, I was going to even go as far as saying even the first Metroid game kind of influenced the future of
Absolutely.
A lot of level design.
A lot.
Because they gave you this idea, and I don't know if this is the first game, obviously, but when we're talking about Metroidvania, is like Metroid was the game that kind of shifted the development of how you like lay out a level. You can go up and down, back and forth, and sometimes you can go somewhere where you can't do something yet and have to come back and do it later. And
yeah, I don't know of very many that were before it that did that. If any. Certainly none that are notable enough to get a genre named after.
Yeah, right.
So I think it's important to consider where these came from, because basically if you took the original Castlevania and you took the original Metroid and you jammed them together, you actually end up with Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons when they call them Metroidvanias, it's a little bit, hey, Joe! And that's how Joe enters the room now.
Hello, everyone.
I have a feeling you're going to want some therapy session later.
That was loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry for that.
It's fine.
It's been
stop,
a day.
Hi, stop guys. Hitting things. We're talking about Metroidvanias. This is the same
thing.
We're happy now. So if you consider the very first Metroid and the very first Castlevania combined, you get basically Symphony of the Night, except there's this other element of developing your character, right? You level them up, you get better weapons, et cetera, et cetera, and you get better skills throughout the whole thing. You get movement abilities, which I think are a pretty critical element. But when you look at what makes a Metroidvania, which is why it's this delightfully vague term, you're basically looking at aimless exploring, where you don't necessarily know what you're looking for, and you're just kind of wandering around until you find stuff. Increasing difficulty of monsters. Discrete thematic zones that have their own set of enemies and set decorations and characteristics that they behave like. And a general sense of progression before you ultimately kill the main bad guy, as well as boss battles and loot. So when you break all those pieces out, you can look at a game like Dead Cells, or you can even look at a game like Dark Souls, which is one of the reasons I always say Dark Souls is the Castlevania, the 3D Castlevania we always wanted but never got. Because whenever they tried to make Castlevania 3D, it sucked.
Yeah,
it usually didn't work as well as the side-scroller
version. It never transitioned to it.
Just to kind of categorize, the only reason I wouldn't throw Dark Souls into that same category is because with most Metroidvania, there's usually an element of platform.
Yeah.
Exploration,
yeah.
Which doesn't really lend itself well to that 3D environment.
No, the platform jumpers in 3D kind of suck, with several very specific notable exceptions.
Yeah, I was trying to
think
of...
Like Spyro.
Yeah.
But Spyro was also cruel.
Yeah.
Awful.
I think Ratchet and Clank has a lot of, like,
yeah.
really crazy platforming.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. It's several notable exceptions, but overall, attempts to make 3D platformers often are difficult because of the added complexity of depth perception. In a game that doesn't have depth perception.
I guess we're ignoring the giant one, which is Mario.
Yeah. Super Mario.
Which is, again, one of the exceptions. Because there's also, for every Mario, there's a Superman 64.
Yeah.
Or an Aquaman 64.
And they even have shifted away from releasing the majority of Marios as 3D games. I think, like, they have, like, even Mario Maker doesn't support the 3D platforming that Mario can do, but...
With that, it's like I just got two, so it's like you can use the elements from the 3D, and they do call it the 3D Mario.
Well, that's because
it's all in two dimensional.
There was a
three.
There
well.
Was a side scrolling 3D one.
It was for
the
DS.
The DS,
right?
Yeah.
It was also for the Wii.
Yeah. So
like
the side scrolling 3D one.
I think you could move levels like this,
yeah.
but you couldn't
like
actually
a virtual
like,
boy.
Yeah.
Which for those who can't see, Kyle was making hand gestures suggesting foreground and background.
Yes,
good.
And even Tropical Freeze does stuff like that too, but it's still maintaining that side-scroller feel.
But with all that in mind, the platforming, that is true. There's usually a platform element. I didn't include that. But when you look at the elements of things like Dark Souls, you know, the ruthless difficulty, and it's not necessarily just, oh, it's hard, but like, it's pretty unforgiving. You fuck up, you die. That's kind of how that game operates.
Mm-hmm.
Castlevania's very much like that too. There are some boss battles you cannot fuck up or you will die. Metroid has a few of those as well. You fuck around when you're fighting, like, Ridley?
Yeah.
Later on? Ridley? Whatever the hell they pronounce
Ridley.
It. Sure. He'll fuck you up. Mother Brain? He'll fuck you up. Fall in that lava, the last Mother Brain stage on any Metroid game, you'll fucking die.
See, I guess I never really saw Castlevania and Metroid games as platformy as that. Because a lot of it is about, like, simple precision. It's not like it's not like what I'm thinking of, like Cuphead.
Yeah.
Like where a Cuphead run and gun level is like the most platformy thing. I mean, that's like what I think of when I think of like side scroll platforming.
I think of more of, so Kyle, when we played through Super Metroid, and if you think of like playing through Castlevania,
don't
Symphony
even
of the
talk
Night.
About that wall jump bullshit.
No, okay. It's not even that. I'm saying, well, and that does exactly kind of play into it, but there are elements of the level exploration where you have to, it encourages the exploration because there will be
That's
places
true.
You go to that you can't access because you don't have the various suit
or the
grapple.
The movement technology.
Yeah, I guess what I was thinking is like in Metroid, Super Metroid, you're right. There's places that you can like hack to, or not that, but like in like a platform, there's like places that you have to have very precise control movement, like Guacamelee. Like you can't get through certain areas in there unless you're like a fucking ninja, like I swear. But I never felt that way specifically in Castlevania, where like I didn't have to do any kind of because the control scheme for Castlevania is a lot more simple than I would even say Metroid is, majority of the
time.
Yeah,
no, I can
okay.
Yeah,
okay. Okay, anyway, sorry. I'll put off that.
The combination, right?
Yeah, that's why you have to have
the combination. That's the Metroid side
mm-hmm.
of it, right?
Okay.
Because you get movement abilities that allow you to get to the next area a lot of times.
Yeah.
Or like
in
Dead
Cells?
In Metroid-inspired
yeah,
games.
Okay.
Right.
And that's part sort of where the Metroidvania, because Castlevania
yeah.
doesn't have as much of that. I mean, Symphony of the Night, honestly, I would say that Symphony of the Night is the first Metroidvania.
Mm.
Yes,
I was kind of thinking the same
it
thing.
Incorporates many characteristics that are traditionally Castlevania and traditionally Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
After coming, and that comes out after 5 Castlevania games and 3 Metroid games.
Yes.
So
yeah, Symphony of the Night was post Metroid 3, and
yeah,
and then yeah, that was the. Are we counting? Tracks, Weapon X, and Rondo of Blood?
Oh, yeah. We probably So, yeah, it would be this after 6
yeah.
Castlevania games.
Which, just to bring up as a side point, and we can digress away from this if we need to, but Symphony of Night changed the way Castlevania games
and
play.
Not
yeah,
just
that's
like,
what I was saying.
And like, not just, like, changed it. It
yeah, like
set a tone for the
set,
next set of...
That's what we were, that's what we're talking about originally was how Kyle mostly played the DS ones, which are all essentially Symphony of the Night 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
yeah.
and
yes.
7, or whatever.
Yep.
So... It's worth noting that, to be completely honest, I don't believe there are any Castlevania games anymore. There are just Metroidvania games.
Yeah. Every Castlevania
fair.
Game is a Metroidvania
game. That's not a bad thing. I'm just saying they took all of the elements of Metroid
yeah.
that they liked and incorporated them. Because all of those elements I was talking earlier about Castlevania, the linear gameplay, the limited selection of weapons that you get to pick from, and some of those elements, they're gone.
Yeah,
after Symphony of the Night.
But I wouldn't say gone, I'd say expanded upon, because you have the idea of random drops in every Castlevania game, but in Symphony of the Night, it's
yeah.
like random drops from specific enemies.
Well,
or
it's not just that.
Things like that.
Castlevania 1, 2, 3, and Rondo of Blood, all and 4, all have just the whip.
I'm thinking about like expanding on the special weapon, right?
Yeah, sub-weapons, which... are not unique to Castlevania. Those are sub-weapons are in every
sure.
like a boy's blob every fucking game.
But you never know when a sub-weapon's going to drop, and
right.
you don't
but
know like that
my
kind
point
of chicken
is,
things and stuff like that.
Not just that element continues regardless, but the fact that your main weapon becomes
whatever you want
can change. Even in the later ones when you have a Belmont and you're using a whip, you start seeing more customization in the things you can do. Maybe not the whip, but then you can get spells, you can get upgrades, you can get souls, you can get whatever. And then, obviously, with Symphony of the Night, you have the whole...
But I
like,
guess what I was getting at is Metroid doesn't have a loot system.
No.
So they had to pull it from somewhere, and I'm wondering if that is an expansion.
Well, that's where Symphony of the Night, I think, is the one that first did it.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to ask you guys is like, do you feel like that's an expansion on the loot system, the minor sub-weapon random drop loot system from the original Castlevania games? Or do you feel like it's something they just pulled from another game?
I think that you'd have to go with that, because in the first Castlevania games, in the original ones... The sub-weapons were not random. There were specific locations that they were set. Same for the wall chicken. It wasn't...
What about
they,
3? Because I'm... I guess
that
I think
one,
like,
yeah,
like,
that
Ghosts
one, I
and Goblins
got a
or
little,
Ghosts and Ghouls like, has random drops, too.
Ghosts
and
Ghouls
like, I wasn't
does that,
sure if
but
one
the,
pulled from the other.
Yeah, but yeah, for well, for the first Castlevania specifically, the sub-weapons and wall chickens and stuff were strategically placed...
Sure.
For the actual
okay.
advancement of the level, because they were critical to get through.
Yeah, no, okay, that makes sense. Anyway, carry on with your guys'
yeah.
thoughts.
So, with that, like, I'd be curious now, who can think of the earliest example of a random drop weapon system.
Well, I was thinking goblins and ghouls because there's a set loots table.
Right.
You never know when you're going to get the armor versus upgrade.
So then that would be good for that simplistic. But I feel like then I guess what you'd say is that Castlevania expanded on it substantially because the number of weapons in Symphony of the Night has got to be close to 100.
I mean, it's got to pull from some heavy RPGs too because the boss grinding aspects. I'm talking about the DS ones, obviously, but I'm assuming about the same thing.
It's pretty similar.
To kill the Iron Knight, 1-250 times to get his, thing that he can drop if you want.
Yeah, there's, a drop percentage you have luck playing. There's the mathematics behind that.
But each character in the game has its own loot table, basically.
Right.
Has a specific loot table to itself. Mm-hmm. Maybe not independent, but...
Yeah.
I just remember grinding souls in Dawn of Sorrow. And you can get the enemy souls, and you can equip them, equip them to do certain things for you. Like if you had the Iron Golem soul, you could take less damage from, but you move slower.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And everyone had a soul, so you could grind every unit in the game.
I think what's a Portrait of Sorrow?
Is the one where
where you have the magician woman. It's they have kind of that same thing. You kill the skeleton character so many times, he'll drop a spell where you can summon a skeleton guy.
Yeah,
and so. I don't know. I can't actually think of, to address your question, Kendrick, I don't think I can point out a game that necessarily had that kind of drop system.
You're getting into an area where I didn't know every video game, right? So I'm not sure between that, but I would be hard-pressed to think of one that had that level. That's two orders of magnitude higher than the weapons available in Ghouls and Goblins or Ghosts and Goblins.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Ghouls and Goblins and Globules.
Goblins and globules.
Hemoglobins. Do we both just say that?
Yes, we
do. Excellent. So I would say that Symphony of the Night probably pioneered that in a certain way, especially because of the wide variety of play styles that each one of those opens up. Because you've got a hammer that's a huge, you have to swing slow. You've got a rapier that goes cha-cha-cha. Then you've got, the Chrysagrim, which is you win. And then you've got fists, you've got boots, you've got...
There was the shield rod, which actually changed its abilities depending on what shield you had, because every shield did something different with the button combo, and...
And you could choose the shield
this is
or a second weapon. You could choose a shield or a second weapon. It's very similar. And that's, I guess that's where I'm wrapping this up. It's not necessarily about, for me, Dead Cells represents, in my mind right now, the ultimate expression of all of those things. It is the most interesting loot system I've ever played because you don't get to hoard things, which would be my drive. I want every weapon, but you can't have that. Mm-hmm. So you have to be constantly seeking them. You can never get everything. You can unlock things, but you can't keep them. So you're constantly seeking, and it gives you, it pulls out a part that I never realized was so important to me about Castlevania, is that sense of seeking, of getting the next thing, of exploring. Which you can't have when you've memorized the entire map. Like I said, I could probably draw a rough map of Symphony of the Night up on that board right now and be pretty close.
Yeah.
Recognizably close.
Yeah.
Because I just played that game too much. But I can't do that with Dead Cells because it doesn't exist. But they kept those things. Each stage has its own thematic, stuff happening. You've got the weird, totally not... what was the name of the Dark Souls... underground city that also crashed games.
Blighttown?
Yeah, Blighttown. Yeah. You got totally not Blighttown. Stilttown, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, Stilttown.
Yeah.
In Dead Cells?
In Dead Cells.
And it's totally not Blighttown. You're like, that's Blighttown. But you've got the clock tower. We have to ring bells to get secret unlocks. You've got the Queen Castle.
It's a setting you set, and it's procedurally generated within that setting.
Yeah.
Do you choose a setting beforehand, or is it just all
you navigate through them?
Okay.
And as you unlock, you can go other ways. You can go to the cemetery.
Is this all specific to a single run?
Yeah.
Okay.
So each run, there's a beginning and an end to each thing, and there's sometimes multiple ends.
Got it.
And when you go, you walk through the door, you walk through your interstitial room, and then you go to the next stage, and you pick one or the other, and then you go from there, or you die. And there's the total pirate town where there's a bunch of pirates and merfolk things, and it's like you're looking at it like these are literally all both in Castlevania and in Dark Souls, all of these tropes.
Yeah.
like the high castle at the end is totally from fucking Dark Souls, but also is an existing Symphony of the Night. Like, they distilled down the tropes, and they've almost, like, you look at this and you're like, I just found out where Dark Souls ripped off Castlevania everywhere, because I'm looking through this lens and I'm seeing, oh, that's all the same shit.
But it's not done in the same way that Guacamelee kind of pokes fun at, like...
No, they do poke some fun at it, because okay. There's a couple spots where, like, the guy talks and, you know, shit about some things, like, what was it? Wow, even the guards are practicing on was it? Even the guards are practicing alchemy? No wonder why you have monsters everywhere. Or what was the other one? You go to the Arboretum, the Demented Arboretum thing, and it's like, one of the notes was, in case the Dead Rising wasn't bad enough, now the damn plants are coming to life.
Okay, cool.
So it's a little bit self-referential, and as that link that Kevin posted, there's paintings that are just straight up of other characters from other games.
Oh, really?
Like, Alucard is in one of the back.
Yeah.
Oh, then you should link that in the thing.
Yeah, I'll...
Because it's not spoilery as far as I understand it. I haven't looked at it, though.
No, unless you really, really sit there and try.
Yeah.
Glancing through it won't spoil anything.
A lot of it's done in the early levels anyways.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of the paintings are in that castle at the end. And if you can't guess there's a castle at the end, you didn't look at the intro screen.
Yeah, I was always confused as to whether or not Dead Cells was fantasy, sci-fi, or both.
It's all, as far as I understand.
Fantasy. It's pretty fantasy.
Yeah. So it sounds right now
it's
like
very
it's
much like
fantasy.
Castlevania, where, like, I haven't got a gun yet. Have you found a gun? There's, like, bombs.
Yeah, there's crossbows. Shoot.
Can you get, like a flail?
You can get an electro whip. So that's... It's like Castlevania. Castlevania Symphony of the Night takes place at the very tail end of the 18th century, I think. Mm-hmm. So there are musket men. And later ones, actually, the DS games get all the way up to the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the later, not even later, but some of the DS games, you have, like, a 1911. And it's great, but it's slow and it's loud. And, like, compared to people who, you know, a bullet through a bad thing might not be as effective as steel. And there's actually some really interesting lore reasons, because iron is something that a lot of mythical creatures are weak against. But no one said anything about lead.
Yeah.
So, like, putting lead in them, I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I don't care. But iron, because it's steel. Steel has iron in it. It might be something where, like, that might kill them. And so you could actually create a pretty convincing lore, I would say.
That's the whole basis of The Witcher. So, like,
is
not steel, but
metals. That's what I mean. Is you could probably make a pretty convincing thing saying, "Yeah, guns don't work on these guys because it's soft lead and not trusted iron.
Guns don't work anymore."
Well, I mean, yeah, but it's
there's no guns. There's arrow. There's bow and arrows.
There's bombs.
And there's bombs.
There's cannons.
And there's Oh, yeah, they're stationary cannons.
Well, other people shoot you with cannons.
Oh, sure,
too.
Yeah. There's, like, a blow dart pick up.
But I'd probably peg it at 18th century, maybe-ish.
Yeah.
Colonial era, kind of, for a lot of its vibe, because it takes place on a colonized island. And magic, right? There's magic in there.
Yep.
There's lots of violence.
Yeah, magic.
And blood. Oh, my God, it gets bloody. If you get certain buffs, things explode when they die.
Yay!
They don't just explode, they burst into blood that just splatters everywhere. So when you kill a bunch of them, you're like, oh,
what's it getting me?
Lay oil on the ground, and then, like, something else will ignite it, and then that whole spot's just burning.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty ambitious as far as, like, what the visuals are trying to be for a game that I thought was pretty 8-bitty.
Let me share this. It's probably, like, late 16, early 32-bit.
Okay.
It's exactly like Symphony of the Night, to be honest. I think they probably could use the same engine. And that game is 32-bit, but gorgeous.
I keep thinking of The Messenger.
Yeah.
I want to share one thing, because you all know I don't play video games much anymore.
Yeah.
On Monday, I don't always wear my contacts if I'm not going anywhere. My glasses all suck, so I can't read, like, tiny text on screen. So if I'm in a meeting or if I'm planning on doing something like that at work, I'll wear my contacts. Also, 4 days a week I wear them because I don't want to put the mask over my glasses. So anytime I'm doing martial arts stuff, I do that. So there's a couple days of the week where I may not have to wear glasses. I may wear glasses instead of my contacts. And Monday was going to be one of those days because, like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just fucking around. But I intentionally put contacts in because this game is so pretty, I can't actually stand sitting on the couch and not be able to see all the details.
Oh, okay.
So it's so gorgeous.
Did you tell them that you played for 8 fucking hours?
8 hours.
Too?
At least 8 hours.
A record.
I haven't seen you do that for a long time.
Since Terraria or Arkham Knight or Arkham...
Terraria is probably the last one.
Gotcha.
Possibly Starbound.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those have all been years. Those are all, like, pre-Conga, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
So
go get Dead Cells. Huh. It's already won awards the last 2 years it's been out.
I'm excited to pick it up.
Just grab it. It's only like $25.
It was on sale last week for like $22, and that included the expansion pass or something. But it's usually $25.
$25 with or without the expansion is absolutely. I have already derived $25 of joy out of that game.
Oh yeah,
and I will continue to.
I think I'm gonna hit 100 hours of playtime in it soon.
Yeah, nice. It is. There's still more to do.
Yeah,
I haven't even hit all the stages. I haven't got all the movement abilities yet. So
yeah. I'm excited to jump into that. But Sorry, it was late, but I was having a shitty day, and this actually made it a lot better. Thanks, guys.
The whole point of it is. Like, comment, subscribe, and buy Dead Cells. And Dark Soul. And Castlevania.
Castlevania. And Metroid.
Metroid.
Anything
Metroid
else?
Well, actually, if you got a Switch, I already got it.
Buy it all.